Hallelujah. Oh, just pray in the spirit for a minute here. La chala miyam rondo go froto go susuro bukolo biyala ma chala biyam rondo go siyo go sa. Ajato kushanto kushato kushanto kasashata kushanto kasashata kasiyo go sa. Adala biyala ma chala miyam rondo go froto go susuro bukote kala biyam rondo kasiyo go sa shanto kasiya. Atu kaya kasashanda kashunto go froto go susanto kashata kasiyo go sa. Hallelujah. I want you to lay your hand on your heart. Hallelujah. I want you to ask for a new heart tonight. And Lord, give me a new heart tonight. Ask Him right now, Lord, give me a new heart. As I exchange my heart for your heart, my will for your will, my thoughts for your thoughts, my past for your future for me, my sicknesses for your stripes of healing, my blindness for your sight, my deafness for your hearing, my presence for your presence, my lack for your abundance, my oppression for the oil of gladness, and my life for your glory, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Turn to your neighbor and say, did you get that? Did you receive that? Snap. Hallelujah. God is good. This is the night He's made, and we're going to rejoice in it. Amen. Oh, grab your swords. It's time to cut off some heads. How many of y'all belong to the headless army? Amen. Headless warriors. Why? Because Jesus is the head, not us. Turn to Psalm 15, please. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalm 15. Sounds like a football game going on in there. Or a wrestling match, I don't know. How many of y'all know we're in the last days? Amen. There's something that the Spirit has brought to me that, you know, how many of y'all know God loves all of us? Regardless of what? Amen? The Father says He searches for those who worship Him in truth and spirit, right? And worship Him in truth and spirit. And worshiping Him in truth and spirit, it means that God is seeking. That means He's looking for someone that their heart is set towards them, towards Him. So if your heart is set towards Him, He's looking for you. Amen? He's looking for you. Now, we've talked about many times that there are those who have the word, who have the right words but the wrong spirit. And we're talking in an arena now that we've been, God is separating. It's almost like separating the goat and the sheep. Those that are headless and those that are still living out of their mind. And living out of their mind means their emotions, their imaginations, living out of the carnality, living in how they feel. Those are the most dangerous people. Because they can never be stable or consistent. They're unstable. When an individual is unstable, you can never trust a person unstable. God can't trust a person unstable. That's one of the keys of victory. What is it? Being consistent. Being consistent. What does the Bible say in 1 Peter chapter 5? The devil seeks whom he may devour. Amen? But only those who overcome are those who are alert, who are consistent. One of the things the enemy tries to do is bring us into a place of compromise, complacency, reasoning, justification, blame. I want you to know that, and it kind of blew me away, because we're so many times looking at the Antichrist in the world and the demonic forces, and you know what? We know who they are. We know them. The Spirit said to me, the last day, the end time imposters are not going to be the Antichrist. They're going to be the believers. They're going to be the end time imposters in the arena where they were who were believers are no longer following. In Psalm 15, in verse 1, would you read it with me? Lord, who may what? Abide in your tabernacle. What is he saying? Lord, who can abide in your presence? Who can abide in your presence? And who may dwell in your holy hill? In other words, who can dwell with you and who can abide in your presence? And he explains who can abide in his presence. What does he say? The first thing he says, he who walks what? Uprightly. In other words, he walks what he talks. Has everybody got it? He doesn't talk one way and walk another. He walks what he talks. He works righteousness. In other words, his fruits are of righteousness. They are a Christ-like integrity. These are the ones that he will allow to dwell in his presence. Because the ones that are not dwelling in his presence are becoming imposters. Number three, it says in verse 2, he who speaks the truth in his what? Heart. In other words, he examines his self attitude, motive, and desires with truth. Always examining himself. In verse 3, and this is the fourth thing, he does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor. In other words, he keeps his tongue from promoting deception and evil schemes. It says he does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil with his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. Again, the fourth thing is keeps his tongue from promoting deception and evil schemes. Verse 4, and whose eyes and vile person is despised, but he honors those who what? Fear him. So what does he do? He hates the ways of evil deception, and he departs from darkness. Does everybody see that? And the sixth thing is he maintains the fear of the Lord by keeping the Lord before him in every decision. I'm going to go over this one more time so we can get to this. Who may abide in the presence of God? He who walks upright. In other words, he walks what he talks. Number two, his fruits are righteousness. He has a Christ-like character or integrity, and he maintains it. Number three, he examines his self-attitude, motives, and desires. He compares these things with truth. That's how he examines himself. Are we okay? Number four, he keeps his tongue from promoting deception and evil schemes. Number five, he hates the ways of evil deception and departs from darkness. In other words, he doesn't run to it. He departs from it. Number six, he maintains the fear of the Lord by keeping the Lord before him in every decision. In verse 4 it says, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. So he hangs around with the right people. He who swears to his own hurt and does not what? Change. In other words, he would rather be rejected by man than be moved out of God's will. He's a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. Why? Because he doesn't want anything to affect his dwelling in the presence of God. Verse 5, he does not put out his money for usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. The eighth thing is he allows money to be used for the kingdom. It's a kingdom cause, not a carnal cause. And it said, he who does these things will never be what? Never be moved out of God's presence. He will never be moved out of the presence of the Lord. Why? Because when you get moved out of the presence of the Lord, you change. This is why the Holy Spirit has revealed that the end time imposters are going to be the believers who've walked out of God's presence. Now we know that God's presence is light, it's truth, it's love. Amen? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, end time imposters. Wow. Kind of blew me away when I was getting this. In other words, the demonic forces are going to be easily seen. It's the end time imposters that the enemy is going to use. Why? Because they're already in the body. Does everybody get this? They're already in the body. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 1, would you read it with me? But know this, that in the last day perilous times will come, for men will be what? Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. In other words, they're putting themselves first, aren't they? With unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control or control over self. brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure. In other words, when there's an opportunity to do something for God, they'd rather go to the playground or a movie or whatever. They have a form of godliness, but they deny his power. That means deny his presence. They're denying his presence. Why? Why are they denying his presence? They're denying his presence because they're walking away from his presence. They're looking for pleasure. They're not finding pleasure in God's presence. They're finding more pleasure in other things of the world. Now look at this. This is phenomenal. It says, for these are the sort who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, and of course gullible men. They load them down with sins. They make false promises. And they lead them away with various lusts. In other words, these desires. It's deception. It says they're always learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, there's limitations put on their life. They can never be cut free. He says, now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. But they will what? Progress no further. For their folly will be manifested to all, as there's also was. In other words, they have a life of limitation. They can never go beyond that limitation. Because God truly is not first. They have the words. Some of them will even have works. But see, they depend on their works. But their heart is not there. It's not there. Why? Because they've exchanged the way and the pleasures of the world for God's presence. Some of them exchanged work and works for God's presence. They've exchanged their family for God's presence. They've exchanged everything for, even Esau, if you recall Esau, he sold his birthright for a bowl of chicken noodle soup. No, maybe it was lasagna. No, it was beef stew. Lentils. But anyways, he sold his birthright to feed the pleasure of his flesh. Amen? So in these last days, these end-time imposters, they will deny the presence of God. That's what he says. They will deny the power. They will deny his presence. They will be lovers of self and pleasures. Again, they will have right words but wrong fruits. They can never advance. They follow feelings and not the spirit of truth. Again, they live out of their mind and not the spirit. And living in darkness. They live in darkness and gray areas of their life. And they are not full of light. Because when you are full of light, you know it and so do others. There's no change. There's an integrity of Christ. The Lord is always first, no matter what. There's always that fear, reverence, honor, and respect to the Lord. That you don't want to do anything to interfere with your presence and his presence in you. You want to be connected, strong, nothing to separate. In John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Starting at verse 1. Let's speak it together. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the what? Light of men. So, his presence is life, light, truth, power, healing. But his true presence, even fire, is it his presence. Isn't fire light? Amen. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not what? Comprehend it. See, this is what the enemy wants. He wants you to get out of God's presence because darkness begins to overtake, and there is no understanding. They don't even know they've walked away from God's presence. Now they live out of a mind where knowledge is the relationship, not the presence of God. That's where the Bible says the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. Is everybody okay? And darkness did not comprehend it. Did you ever walk with someone? Man, they're walking in the Spirit, man, and you're in this, you were one accord, like kindred. All of a sudden, something changes with that person. Now they begin to walk away from God's presence. Because the spirit, the things that are happening with that person is being exposed. So they don't want God's presence because darkness is beginning to overtake them. They begin to change and they don't even know it because they can't even comprehend it. Oh, darkness cannot comprehend light. Just doesn't. In John chapter 8, these are the ones that the enemy is going to turn into imposters and move people out of the presence of God. John chapter 8 and verse 12, 8:12. Let's speak it together. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So what happens? That person stops following the Lord. They stop getting in God's presence. You know, you think about it. Look at how many believers have gone out back into darkness. You know, I want to explain something. Every thought has a voice. Every voice, come on, write this down. Every thought has a voice. Every voice has a presence. Does everybody get it? Every thought has a voice. Every voice has a presence. Now, every thought will release an emotion. It releases a feeling. So a person that is led by their feeling instead of truth, they are easily deceived because they cannot discern the presence of the voice which is releasing that thought. Does everybody get it? And one of the things now has happened is that person is now walking away from light and into a gray area. Now, gray areas are the same as darkness. Now, you know, we got a powerful package teaching called Out of the Gray. I encourage people to hear these those teachings. There's four teachings in that package. It's called Out of the Gray. See, where there's gray areas, those are dark areas because that's blindness. It said God is light, not gray. So when a person begins to walk what people call on the fence, they're actually in darkness. They'll have a form of godliness, but deny God's power. In other words, they begin to deny God's presence. They begin to find fulfillment more in the world, in entertainment, in their phones, in their vehicles, in their whatever it is, in their sports, in their job. That's more important than God's presence now. Is everybody okay? These are the ones the enemy will turn into end time imposters, and they will try to draw others out of God's presence because that's their job. Why? Because darkness cannot comprehend. Again, think about how many people that you know have gone back into darkness. And it all started with a thought, which released an emotion. That's how it starts. That person agrees with that thought. He comes in agreement with it. That releases emotion. He begins to follow the emotion instead of the presence of God. And bam, they're right where they started from. Over and over and over. Why? Because they've never broken through. Every time they reach that place, because there's limitations on them, because it's not been broke. There's people that have been believers that still go through the same thing after 30 years, never been freed from it. And not that there's not freedom available, because it is. It takes humbleness, and it takes a willing desire to do whatever it takes to be free and stay there. Stay there. You know, you got to fight to get in God's presence, and you got to fight to stay there. Oh, hallelujah. Let's see where we at now. What verse? 12. Thank you. Let's start there. Oh, we already started there. Cool. Let's read it again. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. So what happens when a person starts to walk in darkness? He stops following Jesus, but have the light of the life. That the Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true. The Pharisees. These are people that turn into Pharisees and Sadducees. They walked in the Spirit and turned away. I'm not saying that they don't have the Spirit of God, but they're not allowing the Spirit of God to lead them or rule them. They're allowing the carnal man and the influence of demonic forces, the presence of evil, to lead them. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true. And Jesus said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. See, these are individuals that judge according to flesh, not according to the spirit. I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and my Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then he said to them, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, because he was the Father. Oh, hallelujah. So those who follow him are walking in his presence. They will not become blind nor deceived by the presence of evil because they're in the presence of God. Does everybody get that? Those who follow him. In other words, then they stay close to him, don't they? It doesn't mean that you follow him from 14 miles away or a day away. You follow him. You're right on the back of his heels. Hallelujah. John 3. So when he stops, you bump right into him. Because when you bump into him, man, you change. John 3, verse 18. Now, why are we hearing this? We are hearing this because the Spirit has given us the strategy for what's coming or what's happening. People are always wondering, why did that person do whatever? I just can't believe that. Again, every thought has a what? A voice. Every voice has a presence. And every thought releases a emotion. John 3, verse 18, let's read it. He who what? Believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So why do individuals then run away from the presence of God? Because their deeds will be exposed. So they do everything they can to stay away from God's presence because darkness cannot comprehend light, and they don't even know what they're doing. They make every excuse, every reason, every justification to exchange anything for God's presence. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Verse 20. Let's read it. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. Hello. When you begin to drift from the light and fall into a gray area, you begin to hate the light, not even realize you hate it. You don't want it anymore. You begin to do everything you can to walk away from light. You fight. You're fighting in your mind because now it becomes a mind thing. Why? Because every thought has a voice and every voice has a presence. So that means that we're exchanging, we're allowing the exchange of the voice, the presence of the Holy Spirit, with the voice of presence of evil, which is promoting us to drift from the presence of God. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. Hello? Why? Lest his deeds should be what? Exposed. Exposed. Believe me, demons don't like to be exposed. People carrying them don't like to be exposed. Amen? But he who does the what? Truth comes to the light. So if they're not doing the truth, they're not gonna come to the light. Why? Because they know they're not right with God. They know it. They're not running to the light, they're running from the light. But they justify and they put things off. They even try different Bible studies, different churches, all kinds of different things. But ain't nothing gonna change because you can't outrun your demons. You gotta turn around and kick them out. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God, in the spirit, not in the flesh. Is everybody okay? So when a person is in a gray area or a dark area, these people begin to stay away from the light, lest they be exposed. End time imposters will be fallen believers. That's who the devil is going to use. In Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 13. Let's speak it together. What does it say? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. So which one's easier? Destruction. And many times when a person begins to drift from the light, they take the easy way. They don't want to fight for God's presence. They'll just take the easy way. But they don't even realize that they're walking in darkness. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Many. Many. Because narrow is the gate and what? Difficult. Come on, read it. Because narrow is the gate and what? And difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who what? Find it. Listen, I don't know if you remember. If you go to Eternal Library and watch Placebo. That man that was taken to the throne room of God said 90-something percent of the people that went to God did not enter. That's scary, all right. Look at how many entered the promised land out of 2 or 3 million Israelites. Two original. That's not a very good percentage. There's a lot of people thinking they're going home, and they're not. There's a lot of people waiting for the rapture, and they're not going to make it. Although those who are depending on the rapture are depending on the wrong thing. Their hope is in the wrong thing. The hope should be in the Lord, not on the feast. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 15, what does it say? Beware of false prophets. Now, isn't a false prophet someone that is proclaiming to be a believer? Amen. He's an end-time imposter then, isn't he? Beware of false prophets who come to you in what? Oh, snap. Sheep's clothing. They come to them in sheep's clothing. Why? Because they used to be a sheep, so they know what the clothes are like. But now they're a wolf. They went from a sheep to a goat and into a wolf. That's where the enemy wants to get them. What does a wolf like to do? He likes to eat sheep, but he first draws the sheep out of the what? Flock. Oh, snap. That's how you know they're fruit. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their what? Fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad tree bears bad fruit. Hello? Is lying bear fruit? Yeah. Is manipulation bad fruit? Amen. Is lust bad fruit? Is carnal pleasures more than God's presence bad fruit? Yeah. Hallelujah. Verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and what? Thrown in the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Is the integrity of Christ. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom or kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? They were justifying their works to enter heaven. So they're actually using God for their fame. 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who what? Practice lawlessness. Listen, lawlessness is a fruit of lack of God's presence. It is the fruit of the presence of evil. It is the fruit of what? Presence of evil. Oh, hallelujah. They begin to manifest. They're no longer manifesting. They're no longer manifesting righteous fruits, but rebellious. These are rebellious fruits. Let me tell you, rebellion is a fruit. Why? Because every thought has a voice. Every voice has a presence. And every thought releases a emotion. So if that presence is evil, it always releases rebellion. Because witchcraft is rebellion. And they carry the presence of evil. Lawlessness means without law or control over self. And that will always promote a out of order life. And when that is manifesting, it's because that person is in the gray or dark area and lacking the presence of God. Is everybody okay? Remember, end time imposters are not going to be people that are going to be so known. Heathens, we already know they don't have to be an imposter. They're easily exposed. To imposter something means to be a counterfeit. Doesn't the Bible say that even the devil comes as the angel of light? Isn't he a counterfeit himself? Amen. Look at all of these other religions that have occurred. They've always had some kind of angel come to them and give them a doctrine. We're the only that didn't have an angel come to us and give us a doctrine. We had God come to us and give us the doctrine. We had the Creator. Why? Because the doctrine wasn't from an angel. They were eyewitnesses of the Creator. Oh, snap it. 1 John chapter 1. End time imposters. In verse 5. And this is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So there's no gray. Hello? Pure light. Glorious purity of light. Now, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we what? We lie, and you will see a fruit of lying. And do not practice the what? Truth. Truth is no longer being practiced. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from what? All sin. Wow. Philippians chapter 2, in verse 12. Let's speak it. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Let me tell you, when you sense it, fear and trembling is a fruit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's called reverence, honor, and respect to God. In other words, you just don't shoot your mouth off. You don't come against God's anointed. You don't come against the authorities that God has placed in office. That's lost. That's a lot. Man, that when a person begins to come against those things, those individuals have walked in darkness. There's no reverence. There's no fear of the Lord. God says, do not touch my anointed. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to what? Will and to do for his what? Good pleasure. So he's working in us to will, to do his will. Amen? And it says this, do all things without what? Complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God. So is complaining and disputing, it's bad fruit, isn't it? And what's it doing? It's staining the garments. And what's it causing an individual to do? Drift from the presence of God. And the more they drift, the more garbage comes out their mouth. Let's speak that one again. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Hello. Fear and trembling to do and to will to do his will. This can only be done in his presence, which is light. Psalm 82. End time imposters. Psalm 82. Let's speak it together. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. Look at verse 5. What does it say? They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about what? In darkness. All the foundations of the earth are what? Unstable. They do not know, they do not understand, and they are unstable, easily moved. I said, you are gods and all, you are children of the Most High, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Why? Because they've walked from God's presence. Arise, O God, and judge the earth, for you shall inherit the nations. Wow. They don't know or understand that they are in darkness and not in light anymore. And they will die like men unless they turn. Mark 13. Mark 13 and verse 12. It says, now brother will what? Betray brother to death. In other words, brother means believer. And father his children, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be what? Put to death. He said, this is what's going to happen in the last days. And you shall be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end shall be what? Shall be saved. So there's an area where you and I got to maintain an endurance. One of the things that we got to endure is the storms and trials that the world puts on us and fight for God's presence. We cannot be swayed from walking away from his presence or compromising. Amen? or walk away from the light, which is life. Isaiah 30. End time imposters. Isaiah 30 and verse 1, the first word is woe, without eternity, W-O-E, or without eternal presence. Woe to the rebellious children. Why? Because without God's presence, there's rebellion. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not from me. Why? Every thought has a voice. Every voice has a presence. So where are they getting their counsel from? The presence of evil. Why? Because if they're not getting it from the Lord, who are they getting it from? Amen. Who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit. These are evil schemes. That they may add sin to what? Sin. Who walk to go down to Egypt. The word Egypt means bondage, which also means house of bondage, which is associated with the world. And have not asked my advice. In other words, they're just doing whatever they want. They do not seek the Lord or wait for an answer. To strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was known as a god. False god. They exalted themselves as gods. Like Nephilims. Fallen angels. And now look at this. You got to look at this closely. I want you to go over verse 2 again. Who walked to go down to Egypt, which is representation of the house of bondage, the world. Who is the ruler of this earth? Satan. And have not asked of my advice, so they asked the advice of Pharaoh or an evil spirit, right? To strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. That's incredible. Now look at this. To trust in the what? Shadow of Egypt. What's a shadow? It's a spirit. Wow. Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall what? Be your shame. And the trust in the shadow, or the presence of evil, of Egypt, shall be your humiliation. For his princes were at Zion, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of the people who could not benefit them. Wow! In other words, they don't want to do anything with anyone that won't benefit them. Has everybody got it? So they were users of people. Or be help or benefit. But a shame and also a reproach. That's phenomenal. Woe, without eternal presence, out of God's presence. They are shadowed with demonic forces of the world. They're overcome by worldly darkness, only looking for those that can benefit their cause and not the cause of God. 1 Timothy 4. These are end time imposters. Hallelujah. Boy, they make a lot of excuses when they get caught, too. Because they lie. Lying is not a bad thing for them. They justify it afterwards. You know, one of the things about lying, it protects fear. Fear protects pride. Pride protects self, the old man. Anger is a protector also. Did you ever get around someone that every time they, oh, man, what are you doing, man? You accuse me? What? No way. Man, you're a liar and you have a demon. Because you're trying to adjust that. People get angry because actually that spirit is being exposed. And so anger is the one that protects. Anger is a protective. Lying protects. Fear protects. Pride protects. What's it protect? The old man. So when somebody's lying to you, believe me, they will come out with anger. That's a fruit of lying. Anger. You really think that? I wouldn't do that. Man, you just don't understand me. Right. Because you're in darkness. You don't even understand you. You can't comprehend light. Oh, hallelujah. Don't get me going. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Praise God. Is everybody there? What does it say? Verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says, what? In the latter times some will be depart from the presence of God. That's faith. Giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits and what? Doctrines of demons. So you got to understand. Here it is. There's the proof. In the latter times, the Spirit expressly says that believers will turn into imposters. They will go from a sheep to a goat to a wolf. Hopefully they get rescued before they become a wolf. Is everybody all right? And what does a wolf do? It removes the sheep from the flock, from God's presence. You know, sometimes it starts with a simple thing. They begin to justify with a cigarette. They begin to justify by missing services. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I'm this. See, I is always first, not him. They begin to justify in every area. because darkness is beginning to overtake them. Ephesians chapter 5. Anything to prevent God's... Listen, people. Some of them would rather go to a dead church so they're not exposed. Hello? Come on, this is reality. Let me just become religious. That way I ain't got to face that light. Hallelujah. Just me, Jesus, and the Bible. Yeah, man. Uh-huh. Forget his presence. End time imposters. Yes. Who has bewitched you? Is everybody there? Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of what? God. Hello. Imitators of God. Imitators of God. So you get, that means be an imitator of Jesus. Did he love God's presence? Yes. Be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself as an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. But fornication and all what? All uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Not even it. Don't even let it be named among you. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Sons of disobedience. Why? They used to be sons of obedience. Now they are sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and what? Righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. Rebellion is an automatic fruit. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. So believe me, they don't want to be near no light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Hallelujah. Romans 11. Romans 11. Didn't say it was going to be an easy one tonight, but it's a real one. It's reality. This is reality. Now, we have to examine ourselves and those we associate with. Man, you can sense the ones that are living for themselves and using people. You know. They ain't right. Romans 11, verse 7. Is everybody there? What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them a what? Spirit of what? Stupor. Stupor. Eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. To this very day, they are stupid. They need to get snapped out of it. I said to my daughter today, deception plus wrong equals... deception plus wrong equals stupid. I asked her, something happened. I said, well, were you deceived or were you wrong? She said, both. I said, what does A equal? Stupid. That's a good one. So God gives them a spirit of stupor. Not super. Stupor is super stupid. It's super stupid. What an anointing. David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and bow down their back always. I say, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not, but through their fall to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Spirit of stupor is super stupid. Real simple. Everybody okay? Don't look that up, all right? This is Guy's Vocabulary Dictionary. Let's close it, Matthew 25. Hallelujah. So now you know when somebody carries a spirit of stupor. Don't tell them what it means, all right? You could write him a note, maybe. I don't know. Hallelujah. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. Are virgins believers? Yes. Who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Ah. So that means that they had the presence of God. They took their lamps, right? Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were stupid. Super stupid. Stupors. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no what? They took not enough to keep them lit, man. It's like going outside with a flashlight and no batteries at midnight. Hallelujah. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise, hello, took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Why? Because you stay wise in God's presence. You become what? Out of God's presence? You get the spirit of stupor. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps because they wanted it to become brighter. And the foolish said to the wise, uh-oh, woe is me without eternal presence. I don't have any oil, man. Uh-oh, can you give us some of your oil? For our lamps are going out. Dummy, you got stupor problem. You got slapped with a stupor. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no way, homie, unless there should not be enough for us and you. But you need to go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself, because nobody else can buy your oil. You must get it yourself. It takes humbleness and a desire to get in God's presence. Why? The more you get in God's presence, you begin to store oil. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. Why? Because they knew him at one time. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. End time imposters will not be evident. They will be believers who have gone to goats and then to wolves. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I pray that this seed that has been imparted be protected by the blood and be brought to our remembrance, and that those who have been caught up by stupor will be broke, that you'll open their eyes and draw them to the truth and bring them into the light, that they may be exposed and come to repentance and turn from their ways, that they become sheep and fit into their right clothing. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Be blessed.